So let's start with this simple thing. What is the gospel? Because a lot of people, Christians, would say, well, the gospel is that I'm saved by grace. I won't go to hell. I'm going to go to heaven. That's the gospel, because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That's one of the consequences of the gospel. But the gospel is much more than that. So I'm going to give you two definitions of the gospel. One of them, my favorite, is this. Our inclusion in the life that Jesus lives and the favor he is worthy of. See, how many of us believe that we're not qualified for some of the favor of God because we've not performed well enough, or we have a record that disqualifies us? But it says in Ephesians chapter 1 that you have been, if something has been, you can already check that one, check that box. For you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places because you're in Christ. So our inclusion into the life that Jesus lives, in other words, Jesus actually living his life through your unique humanity and your unique story. Our inclusion into the life that Jesus lives and the favor he is worthy of. You're postured to experience God's unmeasured favor because Jesus has postured you there. Because you're in him and he's postured for that. It's not about your performance. It's about what Jesus accomplished. We don't change and position ourselves for favor by our performance. God's favor manifested in our lives changes us. God doesn't change us by threatening to take the candy away from you. He changes you by offering you to experience more candy. The other definition that I like a lot, and this one I did not come up with, but I like it a lot, is that God's plan has always been that we would be woven into the very fabric of Jesus' existence. So if you're struggling to get closer to God, too late. You can check that box off. If you're in Christ, you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And he sits among the Father and the Son, Father and the Holy Spirit, and you are at that place in Christ. You can't get closer. You can cultivate a consciousness that's more aware of how near you are, how close you are, the intimacy, but you can't get closer than Jesus is to God. Right? This is what it says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, real familiar. Therefore, if any person, regardless of who you are, what you've done, where you've come from. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, and that's what it means to be a Christian, is to be in Christ. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, they are a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Often, when people read that verse, they'll say, if any person's in Christ, they are a new creation. That's true, but the actual better translation is, if any person is in Christ, they're a new creature. World's never seen anything like it before. One of my favorite barbecue places in Alabama has this sign on it, and it says, there ain't nothing like them nowhere. There ain't nothing like you nowhere. You're a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, your story may be, it doesn't feel like old things have passed away. But thank God, it's the truth that sets us free.
Amen.
Not our feelings.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it says, if you know the truth will set you free. So it isn't exactly the truth that sets you free. It's knowing the truth that sets you free. So we're going to talk about some truth today. If you're a new creature in Christ, and you are, there's a couple of things you have to know. One is that you have a new nature. This nonsense that you have two natures. You have this old nature, and you have this new nature. That makes you a schizophrenic. And the Bible never says that. The Bible says the old self, the old man, was crucified with Christ. See, when I talk about being in Christ, think about it this way. We were discussing this some last night, that when mankind fell, when Adam and Eve fell, God didn't go, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? Adam and Eve had a choice. They didn't have to fall, but they did. And it wasn't a surprise to God. As a matter of fact, in Adam and Eve in their fall, what do you do? What do you do to change them and all of humanity that was in their loins? What was God going to do about the fall of Adam and its effect on humanity? There was really only one solution: death and resurrection. This fallen humanity had to die. But God was already in love with us even before we were ever born. Not like a Mormon would think, that you existed before, but you did exist before in the mind and heart of God. It's called foreknowledge. And he was not willing to let you go. And so his goal wasn't to wipe out, but to make something new. Jesus said in Revelation 21, I came to make all things new. And that's what he came to do. And so death and resurrection was the only solution. And Revelation 13:5 says, and the Lamb. And the word there, and every time you see the word Lamb in the book of Revelation, it's literally the word little lamb. Now we think about the devil. We think about this giant, red, snarly teeth, evil creature that does all these horrible things. And he is that. And God beat him with the little lamb. And Jesus, the little lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. Wow. You mean before there was ever a fall, there was already the solution? Yes. He was slain before the foundation of the world. Death and resurrection was the solution, and the solution was already set in place before the problem ever existed. Now, one of the things that should encourage you in, because it's one of those ways that God works, like the ways of God, is that anytime you have a problem, you can be sure that the solution has been waiting for the problem to show up. The solution's already there. You may not be able to see it, but you can start thanking God for it. And so what God did, God said, this is the plan. This is the crazy plan of God. I'm going to become one of them. And so when Jesus was born, he was 100% God. But he was also 100% human. And the scripture made it really clear, and the church has said this for 2,000 years, he laid down his right to act out of his deity. And he came, and though God very God, he was also man, and he took on our humanity. He became one of us. How do we solve this problem? He placed us in his person, in Christ. It's not just a statement of theology. He literally placed us, he vacuumed us, absorbed us into his person. Not just pristine humanity, our brokenness, our yucky stuff, your darkest places. He was tempted in every way like us. Think about that. Think of the worst temptation you could ever imagine that maybe you've not even experienced. But somebody has in human history. And he was tempted in every way like unto us. Why? Because he was absorbing. It's called the vicarious humanity of Jesus. So he was absorbing our yuck and our brokenness. And then went to the cross. He lived as if he were us. And went to the cross as if he were us. And we, who we were in all of our brokenness and yuckiness, was crucified on that cross in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And that old, fallen, broken, yuck person was buried. And in Christ, we were raised up in his resurrection and ascension. And we're new creations in Christ. So much so, and I'll reference this verse again in a minute. It says in Colossians 3:3-4, it says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, manifested, shows up in you and through you, then you are revealed with him in glory. That's new creation. That's who you are. And so Christ has come to set us free from sin's reign